Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
And he's saying, well, I can give him one of these boats and, you know, cast off a little ways, then I can speak to everybody, and I don't have everybody breathing down my throat. Now, that's my interpretation, of course. So word comes to Peter, says, hey, that guy over there wants to use your boat. And in my mind, Peter's tired, he's frustrated, he's cleaning his nets, they hadn't caught anything. And okay, throws him down, goes over there, he says, I hear you want to use my boat. Okay, get in, helps him in. He gets in, perhaps gets his oars, backs out, and then he listens to Jesus. And Jesus speaks, rows back up to the shore, and Jesus, perhaps getting out at that time, says, hey, Simon, take your boat, go back out, cast your nets out, and you're going to have a really big catch. And again, I can only imagine. They said they had been fishing all night. Got to be tired. I would have been. You would have been. And not only tired, but disappointed. Hadn't caught anything. And Jesus tells him, okay, now go out, and you're going to catch like you wouldn't believe. And of course, Peter at first, like many of us, doubts. And he says, he kind of argues with him, you know, we fished all night, we hadn't caught anything. And he says, but, or nevertheless, at thy word. And he goes, and he does it, and you know the rest of the story. I mean, they were all 20-pound bass, you know, and 6-pound bluegill, and, you know, all the walleye you can eat on a Friday night there at the lake. Just, the catch was just unbelievable. And then Simon just bows down at his feet, recognizes him to be the Lord, and the Lord says, I got bigger plans for you than this. He says, now you're going to be fisher of men. And to me, the essence of that story, although not stated, I think it's clearly implied that it's important to trust the Lord. And when you don't trust the Lord, you put yourself in a difficult situation, you don't experience things that you could. And when you do trust the Lord, you know, it's good. He's going to help you emotionally when you go through tough times, you know, and we all do. And when you trust the Lord, you don't fall apart. Oh, you may be concerned. You'll probably be concerned. You may shed some tears, but you're not going to experience anxiety, and you're not going to experience anger at the Lord. You're not going to experience fear. Yeah, you're going to have all the emotions that come with tough times, but at the same time, there's going to be a trust in God that gets you through it. And also, trust also in help helps you or enables you to be used of the Lord, you know, to because he tells us to do all sorts of things, and a lot of people don't do those things, so they simply lack the trust. But the Lord is inserting himself, his will, into our lives, but understand this, it's in a hostile environment. You know, Satan is the prince and the power of the air. So the Lord is trying to help us, but we find ourselves in a hostile environment that really surrounds us, and to a degree, that hostility towards faith is in us. When I talk about our flesh, and when I talk about the world, and when I talk about Satan. So I can get up here and show you from Scripture what Jesus was doing and allowing and teaching Peter to trust him. I can show you that, and you might think, well, okay, then is it that easy? No. And we need to acknowledge that. In fact, let me share this with you. Knowing that we should trust God can still be difficult for several, what I think, when you think about it, and you could have thought of this yourself, if you know the Bible at all, it still can be a challenge. And that's one of the reasons you may be struggling. For these reasons, for several reasons. Number one, trusting God, it challenges our attachment to the world. A lot of people just like the world. They like the things of the world. Happened with Demas. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, Paul said, hath forsaken me. He was on the team. He was doing the Lord's work. No doubt he was a blessing to Paul. But Paul says of him, Demas hath forsaken me, having what? What was it that did him in? Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Ephesians, to Galatia, Titus, and to Dalmatia. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. So apparently, rather than trusting God and following God and being a blessing to Paul, the world hampered him. The world won. So we know that in the case where Demas had the opportunity to trust or cave into the world, he caved into the world, and that's a problem with a lot of Christians. The world just has an appeal. You know, the sparkle, the glamour, I mean, it's all false. It's all a charade, but a lot of people just are suckers for that, and they fall for it, and they think that's where it's at. Well, a lot of the people that are there, you know, the entertainers, the celebrities, they're there. It doesn't seem to be working for most of them, and yet somehow we think maybe for us it would be different. One of the challenges to you trusting God can be, if you're not careful, an attachment to the world. You know, I know I need to do this. I know I ought to do that. But I want to do this and I want to do that. But there's another challenge. Trusting God can be difficult because it challenges our love for sin. I guess this is kind of just another way of saying basically the same thing. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world. And what? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men love darkness. Well, that would explain why a lot of people don't trust God and do what he says and be faithful and enjoy serving the Lord, because they love darkness, so our love for sin. And number three, sometimes it simply challenges our logic. There are a lot of people I meet that have trouble trusting God because, you know, to their credit, they're logical people. And it just isn't logical to them. For example, Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. I mean, they were aware of God, but they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, in their logic, in their thinking, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So that can be a real challenge. Some people don't trust because of their attachment to the world. It just overwhelms them. They're enamored with it. Or their love for sin, or it challenges their logic. And that's a problem. Because areas in which a lack of trust, let me just give you some areas in which a lack of trust will hurt you in the cause of Christ. And when you cave in to any one of those things, or when any one of those things keep you from trusting God as fully as you should, that's a problem. It has consequences. You say, well, it's not hurting anybody else what I do. Oh, yes, it is. For example, in the area of tithing, if, you know, Demas, when he left, I'm sure he's not tithing anymore. You know, people that love the world, they're not going to tithe. So it takes trust to let Jesus control your money. And when people don't tithe, it hurts the cause of Christ. I've been talking to my son Matt, who pastors over in Lodi, Wisconsin, and he's never preached on tithing or giving before. And he said, Dad, should I? I said, well, absolutely. I said, now, you know, there have been charlatans and people that have gone about it wrong that have given, you know, tithing on preaching on tithing a bad name, because there's some bad eggs out there. I said, but done right and done biblically, Matt, I said, and I think I prayed it this morning, it's a win-win. You know, how is God going to, quote, finance his work? I mean, did you know we're going to get a light bill? You know, that's got to be paid for. So how's God going to finance his work? We're going to get government subsidies. Amen? No. You know, no. How's he going to finance his work? Through you. And if you ain't got it, then we're not going to get it, so to speak. So it's a win-win. God's got to bless you to bless his church. And I told Matt, I said, Matt, it's a win-win. Don't apologize for it. I mean, if there's one thing I know God teaches through Scripture, it's generosity and giving and goodness. And God's not going to have somebody give and not bless their giving and their generosity. So, you know, if you don't learn to trust God, there's going to be some negative consequences in witnessing. It takes trust to let Jesus get you out of your comfort zone. You know, I've been asking, and I hope that you're working on it. You know, I'm keeping these tracks up here for a while as a reminder to remind you that if you don't have any, to get them, they're out there, and look for opportunities to pass them out. That's something that everybody in this room can do. And my goal is, and I think it's a very modest goal, is each of you pass out one per week, that you put it in somebody's hand, that you feel the leading of the Lord, this is the right place, the right time, and I'm going to ask this person to read it. So, but if you don't trust God in that area, then that's going to hurt you, that's going to hurt the church. And in areas of just the way we live, our lifestyle, it takes trust to let Jesus dictate your lifestyle. Most people's lifestyle, you know, their entertainment, their dress and what have you, if you think about it, Hollywood is probably the biggest influence on, an entertainment industry is the biggest influence on how Americans live their lives, because if superstar whatever is wearing it, that must be what everybody should wear, and if superstar over here is doing it, that should be what everybody's doing, because look at them and how cool they are. And probably, I don't know, 90% of people in the entertainment industry or celebrities are unsaved people, ungodly people. That's the last people we need, you know, calling the shots and influencing us. But you got to have trust in God, both to tithe, to witness, and in the area of living. And I think those are three of the most difficult areas that we suffer in, and we have bad things happen because we don't trust God. So, here we are. This would be, in preaching terminology, the application of the message today. How can we start to trust God and develop a greater trust in God? So let me give you seven. These are practical, you know, practical things that you can do. Number one, by reading the Bible, we learn more about God. The more we learn of Him, the more we love and trust Him. So, number one, be in church. Be in Sunday school. Be in church at 11 o'clock. Be in church at 1:30. Thank you for being here. But we're going to meet again Wednesday night, okay? And so, be here at 7 o'clock. And we're at this church, we're going to preach the Word. We're going to preach the Bible. And the more you learn about God, the more you learn of Him, the more you love Him, and the more you trust Him. When you see what He did for the Hebrew children, when you see what He did for people in the New Testament, that is just going to increase your trust in God, okay? It's a practical thing you can do. And read your Bible at home yourself, your devotions. Number two, we learn to trust God by interacting with Him and experiencing His character in personal ways. And what that means is get involved in church and get involved in the things of God and what God is doing, and see God work and see God answer prayer and see God change lives. You know, that can be in the choir, working in the nursery, teaching Sunday school, working on the van, any one of a number of ways. When you get involved, you actually get to see God working. And when you see God working, you know, this isn't some fantasy we're up here talking about. This is reality, and you're a part of it. That's going to increase your faith and your trust, which kind of one and the same. We learn to trust God by observing trusting Christians around us. We learn to trust God by observing trusting Christians around us. People of faith, people of true faith. And we see how God is blessing them. We see their home. We see their family. We see how God provides. They may not be rich, but they're content. And there's a peace and there's a joy there in their life. And so, you know, look at those mature, trusting Christians around you. Number four, we learn to trust God by praying to God and asking for greater trust. Just ask it, Lord, help me to trust you more. Lord, I pay dearly for not trusting you. When I don't trust you, I'm filled with anxiety and dread and fear and just all sorts of emotional issues. When I don't trust you, I realize I'm missing out. You know, you've gifted me in this area, but I just don't trust. I just can't bring myself to teach that class or sing in the choir. So you pray and ask God for greater trust. Number five, we learn to trust God by reading biographies about Christians with great faith and trust. Reading biographies about great Christians of the past can really be inspirational. You like to read, you can do that. There's all sorts of, and it has affected me in a very real way. You know, a lot of you know that I'm an early riser, and I get up real early. And this morning, because of the time change, I was up really, really early. But I was. And how did that happen? I can tell you how it happened. I read a number of biographies like George Whitefield, the Wesley brothers, and you know so many others. And I saw a common theme there that I wouldn't have seen had I not read. That most of those guys got up really early. Really early. And that inspired me. That really is. Because I didn't always get up as early as I do now. But I do now. And I can tell you for a fact that probably the primary reason that I started doing it, and that's become just, you know, it's natural for me to get up early in the morning. But that's where it started. Reading biographies. I'm thinking, man, I want to be used of God. And, you know, there seems to be a connection that most all of these guys I'm reading back, especially in history, were guys that were up early. And so reading biographies can help you. And, you know, we can help you get a hold of those if you need some help with that. Number five. No, that was number five. Number six, we learn to trust God by attending church and seeing God work. You know, being here on a Wednesday night, you know, special things can happen at different services. Wednesday night feels different than Sunday morning, to me anyway. Sunday afternoon feels different than Sunday. It's different. And, you know, I want you to have the full course meal. We're serving something a little bit different. You know, I mean, on Wednesday nights, we've been preaching the systematic theology. We're on the Bible right now, talking about the Bible. Sunday afternoons, we've had a short series on missions, and we'll be back on that next week. That's what messed Jamie up. Jamie took the bullet for me, but I messed him up on the song because I knew I wasn't preaching on missions this afternoon because I saw the message was going too long. And so I thought, well, I'll just wait a week. But I failed to tell Jamie, who had planned the mission song for this afternoon. So that's what threw him off. But just, I don't know what that has to do with anything. Give me a thumbs up on that one, Jamie. If you want to know the story, see Jamie, and he'll tell you the story there. We learn to trust God by attending church and seeing God work. Number seven, we learn to trust God by realizing that if we can trust him to save our soul, we can trust him with everything else. Just think about that one. If you're born again, you're going to heaven, you trusted him with saving your soul. If you can trust what he said about saving your soul, you can trust what he says about witnessing, tithing, and important lifestyle decisions. I want us to look back. We looked at it twice. This is going to be the third time today because this is where the encouragement comes to trust. If you're struggling, let this encourage. And you can do it. You can grow in your faith and trust. You can do it. Years ago, when I first started pastoring, I really studied a lot about leadership. And like a lot of people, I thought, well, either you have it or you don't. Either you have it or you don't. And then I started reading books from guys that I really liked their writings and I really benefited from. And that's where I heard it first said, look, as a leader, if you're a two, you can become a five. If you're a five, you can become an eight. You know, you can improve your leadership abilities. It's not like where you're born at this level and that's where you're going to stay. And that is absolutely true. And I can make the case for that now, that through study, learning, prayer, practice, and what have you, you may be a two, but you can do better than that. And as you improve your leadership, that improves your ability to influence people for the cause of Christ. And that is the ultimate motive. And some of you may think that about trust. Well, either you have it or you don't. Well, again, like leadership, I don't think it's true. I think you can be a person that struggles with trust, but then can grow in your trust and grow in your faith. Remember, we're all part of the what we call sanctification process. You know, we're all growing. We all start off, the Bible says, as babes in Christ. And, you know, we all grow at different rates to different levels, but we're all growing, and that can be the case with trust. So I want to remind you from Jeremiah 17:7, what we read this morning. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For, okay, here's the reasons. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. This is just God describing trust in very appealing ways, wanting you to get it. For he, the man that trusts, or the woman that trusts, shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, I read that, and then I read the following that I'm going to share with you. And if I read something and it's good, it